Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show, Resurrection.
Of the street, encapsulated in plastic, had to blow them out. So I said, blow them out. How much am I? I said, blow them out. How much am I? The flat is evil, I'm full of cavalry. Cavalry. Work hard, it's sad. And from Hepburn Bridge, somebody said to me, that 99% of non-smokers die. Of a blown out. The
Blindness by the Fall.
Now, my very good friend, Hercule Howard Fisher, will now be laughing his socks off because he loved the Fall. He always loved the Fall. He always wanted me to listen to the Fall. I hated the fucking Fall. I wasn't interested in the Fall. I hated his voice. I hated the attitude. I hated the whole thing about the Fall. Nobody liked the Fall. Tony Wilson, who was a big advocate of the Fall, didn't like the Fall.
No. Sorry, just makes me laugh.
It's incredible. But what attitude. What a bass sound. What a bass line. And it builds up.
Yeah, just, it winds you up.
It does. It winds you up. And it's absolutely magnificent. And this few series of podcasts that we're going to be doing now is based on what we were listening to in 2022,
yeah.
Really. And this particular track has given me Tourette's because I'm in the local supermarket and I'll go, Living! Or Cavalry! And Cavalry! Even our mate Tiago, who doesn't like the Fall, he loves the Foo Fighters, loves all that sort of stuff, he keeps coming in and he'll go, Cavalry! I have no idea why, but it's got us in a grip, hasn't it?
It has. And this is like a bloke band, so for me, this is even more surreal than ever. But there's just something about, as you say, the attitude, but there's an emotion that he captures that's still very contemporary. I think it really caught a heartbeat of ours this year. You know, but we've had so much fun, and it's just carrying on. It was so much fun that I got you the Fall Heads Roll album T-shirt for
now,
Christmas.
Who would have thought I'd be wearing a Fall Head Roll T-shirt, you know? I was listening to Jimmy Page. I was listening to all these, you know, proper, really cool rock and roll bands. And
we're evolving.
I know, we are. Like a nice cheese. A lot of cheese in Portugal.
So I didn't realise, well, I know nothing about The Fall. That was their 24th studio album. Fall Heads Roll, released on the 3rd of October in 2005 on Slogan in the UK and Narnak Records in the US. And it was recorded at the same studio that you recorded 36, your first solo album, in Graceland at Lisa Stansfield Studio.
Well, you know something? I didn't know that.
Didn't you not know that,
and
love?
I didn't, and it would have frightened them to death in there because, you know, the guys down there, they're not Fall people. It's Lisa Stansfield, you know. They're all quite...
Been around the world, yeah.
Get a girl, my baby. And I don't know what they'll have made of him at all because he was a real troublesome bloke. I mean, I do have a false story, or certainly Marquis Smith story, and I was round a table with a number of other people, and with him in a pub in Manchester. I can't remember exactly where. It was near Piccadilly Gardens somewhere, sort of back from there. And he drank so fast, he literally drunk me under the table. I was cocky. I thought I could keep up with these guys, you know. And I literally, they left me for dead, literally under the table. That's Marquis Smith, there you are.
Simon John Campbell, yeah. And Marquis Smith.
Yeah.
Under dead. The table, lad.
Yeah.
It was also recorded, by the way, at Gigantic Studios. That's a good name for a studio in New York City. Oh, you know, Blindness, what I didn't realise, that was the third incantation of that song.
Right.
And the double vinyl LP they released in the US had a different version. Now, I found out as well that Narnak Records is headed up by a guy called Shaheen Ewalt. And they're about to release the vinyl of that next year, or well, 2023. This
is
year.
That right?
Yeah, and I wrote to him. He hasn't come back to me yet because I want to know when it is, because I think they only had like 1,000 pressed when they first released it. So it was real, real small number on vinyl. But obviously, we've always loved vinyl and stuff. And it was
that
great.
Time when CDs were all out again, you know, and it all changed, or out, I should say, for the first time. And you know, vinyl just disappeared, didn't
yeah.
it? Really, it was very difficult. People didn't release on vinyl.
No, but I think they did. They did like I think it was 1,000 CDs and 750 vinyl, or something like that. I mean, real, real small numbers. But just looking into them, you know, they were formed in Prestwich, Greater Manchester.
Yep.
Now, I know Prestwich. Yep. I nearly lived there at one point back in 1976. So I went to Manchester. I was at Salford Uni in like 1990. But they never achieved widespread success, apparently. They had a cult following. And now, here's a question. Here's a bit of a triv question for you. So they underwent many a lineup. And Marquis Smith, the vocalist and founder, was the only constant member. How many members do you think they got through?
I don't know this, but it's going to be something outrageous, like about 80.
Oh, 66.
All right. Okay, 66. 666.
Well, I'll tell you, but then they released 32 studio albums and more than three times that in live albums and compilations. And of course, they were the darling band of BBC radio DJ John Peel. They played 24 sessions for Peel, though.
I know.
Fantastic.
They're one of his favourite bands of all time. It's absolutely incredible, you know. And when you see, because there was a documentary that we watched recently
yeah,
about him, didn't we?
It was really good.
It was really crazy. And even they didn't understand why they liked him, you know. It was but they had an attitude. And I think when they got in the studio, they were doing live stuff. It was just such an electric atmosphere, you know, because they didn't know what was going to happen.
No, well, Marquis Smith apparently says, with all the lineup changes, if it's me and your granny on bongos, it's the fall. I could just imagine that, can't you? Because I'll tell you what I do like. So toms at the end of that Blindness, it really yeah. starts, you know, to me as a bass player. And you get me on the toms and that's it. I mean, I'm a dunner. You've got me there and then, really. And Steve Hanley was playing bass for 20 years. And Marquis Smith was saying he's the most original aspect of the Fall and that he'd never heard a bass player like him. He didn't have to tell him what to play. He just knows he is the sound of the Fall.
Well, Mark Riley used to play for the Fall.
I know.
Very briefly, I think, because he got fired, didn't he, before a European tour, yeah.
He was their roadie, I think. He got him in at 16 or something.
Yeah, incredible.
But that's it. He was in that documentary, wasn't he, saying, well, you know, he just said, I'm not going on the European tour with him and I'll call you if we need you. And he never called him or something.
That's right, yeah.
Something to that effect, really.
Madness.
But just to conclude here then, because obviously there's so many albums he's released, there's so many different... it's just the tip of the iceberg, really. And just wanted to start the Supertones show off with that song because it has been a complete mad, bonkers, beautiful part of our lives the last few months, hasn't it, really?
It has indeed.
And they described Marquis Smith as having a kind of Northern English magic realism that mixed industrial grime with the unearthly and uncanny, voiced through a unique one-note delivery. Somewhere between amphetamine-spiked rant and alcohol-addled yarn. He's described as his approach as combining primitive music with intelligent lyrics.
Yeah.
Olha lá vai passando a procissão, se arrastando que nem cobra pelo chão. As pessoas que nela vão passando acreditam nas coisas lá do céu. As mulheres cantando tiram verso, e os homens escutando tiram chapéu. Eles vivem penando aqui na terra, esperando o que Jesus prometeu. Jesus prometeu coisa melhor pra quem vive neste mundo sem amor. Só depois de entregar o corpo ao chão, só depois de morrer neste sertão. Eu também tô do lado de Jesus, só que acho que ele se esqueceu de dizer que na terra a gente tem de arranjar um jeitinho pra viver. Muita gente se arvora a ser Deus, que promete tanta coisa pro sertão, que vai dar um vestido pra Maria, que promete um roçado pro João. Entra ano, sai ano, nada vem, meu sertão continua, o Deus dará. Mas se existe Jesus no firmamento, tá na terra, isso tem que se acabar. Olha lá vai passando a procissão, se arrastando que nem cobra pelo chão. As pessoas que nela vão passando acreditam nas coisas lá do céu. As mulheres cantando tiram verso, e os homens escutando tiram chapéu. Eles vivem penando aqui na terra, esperando o que Jesus prometeu.
Gilberto Gil, Procession. How's that?
Not bad.
Not bad. From the album Gilberto Gil, surprisingly enough, Frevo Rizigado, released 1968 on Philips Records. Well, since we've been in Portugal, we've actually been investigating, haven't we? The sort of local music scene, of course, here is a tremendous amount of fado, which is incredible. It's sort of Portuguese folk music based on the feeling of saudade, which is it's a word that doesn't exist in any other language. It's a sadness, a longing, but it's very difficult to articulate in English. But anyway, that's basically what fado is. On the other hand, in Brazil, they're going bonkers with Tropicalia, or Tropicalismo, which is this, basically. And what an incredible sound. The thing that gets me about this, though, the first thing I want to tell you, we'll listen to it, is the volume of that electric guitar. It is loud in the vocal, and like the drums and everything in the background, and then you got those really, really cool 60s vocals in the back.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's just a cool thing. Anyway,
it was something that I think we could relate to. And as I started to look into this, into the research for Gilberto, it was uncanny just how we're all really connected in different pathways. You know, it's only like you're six steps removed away from anybody. But the one thing I like about that track as well is it's an up tempo feel with it, this Tropicalia movement, but also that guitar that's going. Yeah. It's like almost like a fly guitar that's kind of like caught in a jar, and he's just going. It's just some of the sounds that they used in that. I mean, so this was like 1968. Yeah. So it's a blend of traditional Brazilian styles. This is what Tropicalia is, or Tropicalismo, and such as samba and bossa nova with American rock and roll. And it features the electric guitars and backing vocals of Brazilian rock group Os Mutantes. Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about them later in the show, actually, funny enough. Now, here you go. So it's like when you move into a different culture and a different world, really, the arrangements for this album were by a guy called Rogério Duprat, or Duprat. I think it's more Duprat. But he was the George Martin of Tropicalia and the Brian Wilson of Brazil. So this guy is like mega, mega famous.
Well, he's done a great job. I mean, it still sounds fresh today. If that came on the radio now, you'd think, oh, God, who's this new band, you know?
Yeah.
And it's still got great power, you know? And it's not been overproduced, you know? There's actually not a lot of instruments. It's swilling in reverb. And of course, the drums are like right back. But it's got a very contemporary sound to me. And that's what really grabbed me about it.
Well, what's odd as well is that, like, it was number 78 in Rolling Stone Brazil's list of 100 greatest Brazilian albums of all time. And Pitchfork placed it at number 99 of the top 200 albums of the 60s. So, I mean, this is really what really gets me, is that, you know, we're full-time musicians, we adore music, it's our language, and we're still discovering other artists. When you just look under a rock here or you go somewhere else, there's like a whole load of other people that you've never heard about. But then you realise, let's talk about Gilberto, right? He was born in 1942, a Brazilian singer-songwriter, and he's a politician as well, you know. He's known for both his musical innovation and political activism. His father, Jose, was a doctor. His mother, Claudina, an elementary school teacher, and he played drums, trumpet, and accordion before settling on the guitar. He was influenced by American rock and roll musicians like Elvis, the Pelvis, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album, as well as singing groups from Rio de Janeiro. And he began his music career as a bossa nova musician. And he was a key figure in the Musica Popular Brasileira Tropicana movements, alongside Caetano Veloso, another mega Tropicalia guy.
Yeah.
But see, this is the thing that gets me as well. So in the early 60s, so this Tropicalia movement, by the way, was deemed threatening by the Brazilian government at the time. So in the 60s, Gil earned his income from primarily selling bananas in a shopping mall and composing jingles for TV ads. And he had his first hit in 69 with Aquel Abraço. Abraço is a hug. I don't know. We're learning Portuguese, by the way. So we've had 6 months of very sort of elementary, young four-year-old lessons, haven't we, in a sense? We know what...
Sim.
So anyway, they both got arrested, you know, those two. So they got arrested, the Brazilian military regime, in 64. They were held for 9 months and they were told to leave the country and they were given no reason for their arrest.
Mm.
So he reckons it was just that something, the fact that they represented something new that couldn't quite be understood. It didn't quite fit into any clear compartments. And he moved to London, and in 1971, he helped in organising the Glastonbury Free Festival.
In 1971, wow.
Now, see what I mean? So there's a guy from Brazil, and he leaves his country because he's part of his activist sort of music. I mean, these are the days when music actually used to make people have to wear nappies in their pants, all the politicians, really.
Absolutely.
Because there was something that happened with the power of the music and the people. I don't think you'll ever see that again until the socialist movements or social movements. I don't know.
I think you're right. And actually, he was the Minister for Culture in Brazil from 2003 to 2008 under Lula, who's the new Prime Minister, new old Prime Minister of Brazil, which is fantastic, actually. Glad to see him back.
Yeah.
Save the rainforest, Lula.
Well, you know, Gil was actually at the World Cup recently and he got heckled by a load of Bolsonaro supporters.
No.
Yeah, and these guys got arrested because apparently there's a law saying that you can't be mean to people in public. So these guys were given a load of jip and they got arrested for it.
Blimey.
So, I mean, this is a guy that started off in the 60s and he's still causing trouble.
Yeah. Rock on.
Sweet with circumspection. skill and talent.
My heart in clouds, I ride up.
Lo consegna gratis a domicilio.
Pocket. Kevin. It will have been a pleasure. Your price is easy.
Bambine e ragazzi robusti sani.
And letting him make drawings and build garbage structures.
Square of
Silver Apples, and Program from the debut album Silver Apples, released on Cap Records in June 1968.
I know.
And it's one of our albums of 2022.
It's ridiculous. And we've been searching out over the past, well, few years, really, sort of new acts to listen to, a new... And we have, you know, we've got some, you're going to hear some later on today.
Yeah.
Over the next few shows. But it is very difficult when you hear something of that quality and then compare it with the stuff that's coming out now, you know. Because I can't remember that 1968. I was 10, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And when you listen to that, the production of it, I can hear public service broadcasting it. I can hear it. You can hear Can.
Yep. Stereo Lab.
You know, yeah, and Stereo Lab and all these
White Noise.
And certainly Can, because I thought Can, the whole krautrock thing, was really super original. But then when you listen to this, you realise it was before, you know. And
exactly. In fact, they all cite Silver Apples as one of the very, very beginnings, really, of this, because this was a record that reached far ahead of its time. And so at the time when it was released, the airwaves were dominated by Motown and the Beatles. You think about it, their experimentation was tame compared to what
Absolutely,
Silver
yeah.
Apples was doing. But it failed to gain a big audience, really. But even now, 40 years on, 50 years on, it's fresh. Back then, there was just simply nothing like it whatsoever. But this guy, actually, they started off, I wanted to find out a bit about them. So they're in New York, okay? They're part of the underground music scene. I always like that.
Yeah.
It's always a bit sexy, that, isn't it? You always think of the toilets and CBGBs, don't you?
Yeah.
And how you wouldn't really want to be going in there unless you really had to. As a man, it'd be a lot easier, I'm sure, but I wouldn't have enjoyed that. But so you've got the underground music scene in New York, and they worked a lot in the East Village. And what happened was that the singer Simeon Cox, right, he started incorporating a 1940s vintage audio oscillator into the show, right, and it pissed off a load of the other bandmates. So most of the band left, which just left him and the drummer. So that's what happened.
Well, they are.
So the drummer Dan Taylor and him, at that point, they changed the name to Silver Apples, and it was after the William Butler Yeats poem, The Song of Wandering Angus. And they had, at one point, 9 audio oscillators piled on top of each other and 86 manual controls to control lead rhythm and bass pulses with hands, feet and elbows. So, I mean, this is an absolute bonkers thing, you know. I mean, I think they were really just experimenting with how much they could play with just two of them, which I thought was... He never learned to play keyboards properly, not technically correctly anyway. He just did what he wanted.
But it sounds great.
I love the silver apples.
What's happening, there's bits of samples in there as well, some string samples. It's really very, very innovative, you know.
It's refreshing, though, isn't it? Because it just shows you can weave sounds from your life. You can almost feel... Wasn't it... Who was that guy that we've just met on Mastodon recently? He was talking about the Silver Apples open for them.
Oh, yeah.
In that band. What's it called now? Have a look. Who is this?
It's right on the edge of my tongue. We'll come back in a minute
track. Yeah, yeah. So this guy, he told us a story about the Silver Apples that opened for them. And he was outside having a cigarette outside, I think, one of the venues like CBGB's. I don't think it was that venue, but similar. And this RV turned up on the back of a pickup truck and stuff. And he was just like... And plonked outside the venue. It's like, what's going on? And apparently what happened is it was the Silver Apples. They'd broken down on the first day of their tour, but it was cheaper for them to get towed to the next venue and play the gig than it was for them to get their RV repaired. So they basically spent the whole tour by just getting picked up back on the tow truck, and the tow truck was then taking them to the next gig. So this is the amazing Silver Apples, who are just completely and utterly...
The Brian Jonestown Massacre.
That's the dude. Yeah.
And the singer, which his name just escaped me, we'll find out. But he does this podcast, and he's on Mastodon now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's been really... We've been having a few chats with him, actually. He's a really nice guy, isn't
very,
he?
Very, very cool guy, yeah.
So there you go. So that's the Silver Apples. And I've just got one more tale to tell quickly. So Cat Records, they're on their second album, Contact. And they struck a deal, a branding deal with Pan Am. And the deal was that they would shoot the front cover of their second album at the cockpit of one of their planes in exchange for them putting the Pan Am emblem logo on the front cover. Well, on the back of the album, they put a photo of a plane crash. Needless to say, they were taken to court and they pulled the record, and that was the end of them for a little bit.
A menina, eu sou o menino dela. Ela é o meu amor, eu sou o amor todinho dela. Chama na lua prateada se esconder e só dourado aparecer. Amanheceu um lindo dia, cheirando alegria, pois eu sonhei e acordei pensando nela. Pois ela é minha menina, e eu sou o menino dela. Dela.
I defy anybody after the show not to go, nah, 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 nah. What a great fuzz guitar sound. What a great line. Anyway, that was Os Mutantes.
Ooh.
A Minha Minha is the album title. My Little Girl, that's what it means. From their debut album, Os Mutantes, released June 1968 on Polydor. It was a cover song of a song by George Ben, or Jorge Ben, whatever. Anyway, this is more Brazilian Tropicana. So, you know, very American, very crossover. The sound here is more advanced. I mean, the drums are a lot louder and thicker. It's a lot more complex than Gilberto Gil's sound. And I just love it. We bought the vinyl, didn't we, straight away? We've tried to get Silver Apple's vinyl, but we bought the vinyl for this, and it's just tremendous. It sounds great on vinyl.
Fresh, isn't it? Yeah. Makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does. So we're dancing around like lunatics. We haven't been dancing around too much for the past 3 weeks because we've been ill with this. We went to the UK and we came back with this horrible bug, didn't we?
Yeah.
So you can hear my voice now. So I'm very husky.
Very sexy,
indeed.
Aren't we?
Sexy, yeah. But,
up close and personal.
Yeah. Which, of course, is very good for the Portuguese accent because you've got it in the afternoon. But that's good afternoon. Bom dia.
You do sound good, actually. You melt ladies' legs with that.
I do indeed.
Accent.
Yes.
I know. I've seen it. It's really, really good.
Boa noite. There we are. So that's our Portuguese. I think it's getting better, isn't it? The actual way that we're speaking is getting better, but it's still tricky to put a sentence together. Anyway.
Yeah. So there we go. We're going to play some more Os Mutantes anyway, but that's just a taster of this amazing band that's really just freshening it up for us at the moment.
And all I can say about that is fuzz. Fuzz. Fuzz.
Come down.
The Flaming Lips. Will You Return When You Come Down? That was released as a single on the 14th of August in 2020 and is taken from their 16th studio album, American Head, released 7 weeks later on the 11th of September on Warner in the US and Bella Union in the UK. And we had it for Christmas on vinyl. Yay!
We did. And this has actually been a reoccurring record, the whole record for 2 years, hasn't it?
You know?
We listened to a lot last year, but we're putting it on the show because it's...
still with us.
Yeah, still very much with us, and we got the vinyl, and it sounds fantastic on vinyl. And I just want to talk about the production a sec, because when you can compare that with the stuff that we heard before, obviously, you know, the production here is a lot more sophisticated, there's a lot more low-end in it, and it's bigger sounding and all that. And it really is a beautifully produced record. And what I do love about The Flaming Lips from a production point of view, an instrumental point of view, they're extremely... alternative, you always know it's them. It's a very odd sound. Like if you listen to Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, I mean, the actual track Yoshimi, there's that those drums, and they're slightly almost out of time, and they seem far too loud for the actual track, but it works, you know? And here, it's just a beautiful song. And the whole record to me is very... philosophically written. I think that the songwriting is very intelligent. Mm. He's got this way, you know, Wayne Coyne has got this way of creating a lyric which is, and writing a lyric which is childlike, but absolutely incisive, like a scalpel, you know.
Yeah.
It cuts right in, but delivered in a very childlike way. And it's just beautiful, you know. There's a lot of criticism about America, of course, here in this whole album. But I would urge you to go and buy this, as with all the albums that we've played so far, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that's me on the production and stuff.
Well, that's beautiful, you know, because I think that's the thing with Wayne Coyne, is that where do you start? He almost makes you dizzy when you try and look back at what adventures he's been on and continues to be, coming out of Oklahoma City, you know, with the band in 1983, formed it with his brother, and lots and loads of different people collaborating with him. He's collaborated with Nick Cave, Miley, Keisha, just loads, Taylor Swift, just loads and loads and loads of people.
Yeah.
But it's just... I love the fact that he got on a giant hamster ball, you know, when COVID hit, because he wanted to carry on performing. And, you know, he can last 3 hours in one of those hamster balls before he runs out of oxygen.
It's incredible. And, of course, the work he did with the Chemical Brothers as well, the Golden Path, I mean, that's a great track.
You know.
His voice, his voice is not great. It's like a Neil Young.
He changed
it. It's like, you know, it's crazy. But the thing about this band, though, is Steve Droids. He really is the engine behind him. And he's a multi-instrumentalist, and he's just, you know, he was a heroin addict, or he might still be a heroin addict. I mean, it's incredible, the story. We watched a documentary the night of the Flaming Lips, which I urge you to dig it out.
Oh, that's right,
YouTube
Spider Bite. Remember, what was it? There was something to do with the Spider Bite and Steven. It was something to do with drug taking, but he totally got bitten by a spider, so Wayne wrote a song about it.
Yeah, and actually it was intravenous use, drug use. But anyway, that's a different thing.
But literally, I mean, just start with American Head if you don't really know the lips. But they are, in fact, I know you've seen them live, haven't you?
Yeah.
I haven't yet.
Remarkable.
I'd love to see them. In fact, and don't you know Nell Smith? I was reading about this young 14-year-old, she used to go down and see him a lot in concert recently, dressed as a parrot. So she'd be down the front, and then one of the sound checks, Wayne Coyne, said, "I recognise you." He came up to her and said, "You've been here before," because he recognised her, the parrot. So he gave him his number, and basically they've ended up working together, and she's recorded a load of covers of Nick Cave's song and stuff. And so, I mean, this is the Lips, just like working with everyone and with people with just... They just know. They're just so open-hearted, and I just love them. I love them.
Thank you.
Gamble, Happiness in Halos. The first collaboration that we did together on our own, wasn't it?
That's true, actually.
Yeah, we'd done that session on the knife, didn't we? Do You Want Me, I think, already.
Yeah.
And then this is the first one we did together, and it's still...
All based around your new amp.
Yeah.
You had that new amp, wasn't it?
Tweed Deluxe, yeah, that's right.
I remember this now. We just moved to Spain. We'd been in France writing for 6 months, hadn't we? And then we decided we'd record it. So it was all very exciting.
Yeah, somebody mentioned on Mastodon today, because we're trying to move away from Twitter now and all the big social media, big tech people. So we're on Mastodon, and somebody commented, said, "We love the 35 hertz." That's the sort of comment you get.
Really?
And if you listen to it through headphones or listen to it on a great sound system, you'll hear that real low 35 hertz, which comes from the Tempest drum machine. In fact, there we are. So, but I think we're playing this because it's sort of the music that we're returning to as a band, and because this year we've launched this new project, Starlight One.
Yeah.
Which is very much about our songwriting and stuff, but we're taking a different direction, you know, more art rock, more use of synthesizers, analog, of course, and, you know.
Yeah, I think we're exploring, aren't we, really? Yeah. We're just sort of going where the wind takes us in that respect, if you know what I mean, as opposed to in that sort of, like, Bobby, by the way, our Labrador's just come in, decided she's going to give us a load of love. Because we're talking about Starlight One, we're very excited.
Yeah, she's going to be banging her mic.
But it's still all about the song, it's still all about the emotion, but it's just using different formats in different ways without being constrained to any particular style. We're just going to, well, we are. We've already been writing for the last few months, actually.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
And but not just taking it from that first bit, but actually just developing songs and ideas and sounds. And we've got lots of different sound-making and capturing equipment, and just allowing it to sort of, like, to play. We're playing. Playing with it and trying to get to that sort of the marrow of the story, you know, what to really work out what's going on. I think that's, and also to have something that enriches your life and enlightens you and gives you a lot of love.
Yeah, and talking about love, the last track for today is by Low.
Yeah.
And we were going to go and see him this year, but sadly Mimi Parker passed away on November the 5th. A hugely influential band for us this year, a great production, and this is just a magnificent song. It's just so heartbreaking. Anyway. We'll see you next week. We don't know how many shows we're going to do, but we'll let you know when we've decided.
Indeed.
Cheers. Good night.
Don't